Good morning. We left off in the end of last man. We were discussing the various takanos hashavim, the different ways that Chazal made takanos to make it easier for a gazlin to do tshuva. So continue a bit with that, and then we'll mirtz Hashem begin the sugya of shinoi kaina. What we'll start with today is the concept of gozlos harabim. Gemara tells us that if a person steals from individuals, so doing tshuva is fairly straightforward. When a person decides to do tshuva, it's not just enough to have charata and to klap al chet. You have to actually track down your victim, return the money, and ask for mechila. Now that's somewhat simple. If you're dealing with, if you stole from individuals, you know who you stole from. However, the Gemara says that royim, gaboim, and muhsin, people who dealt with the public, Aroya were shepherds, they used to take their sheep and graze, they used to graze wherever they found fields. The moichis or the gabai were people who dealt with the public purse. They collected taxes. So these people, if they went ahead and they stole from the public, wherever they collected the taxes, they took a little bit of extra and they put it into their pocket. So when they decide to do tshuva, it's very difficult because they have no way of figuring out who exactly their victims were, how much they stole from each person. So the halacha is that in such a case where it's impossible to return it to the individual victims, what you have to do is yaseh tzarchei rabim. You have to spend the money on public works. The example given is you dig boirois, you dig wells on the side of the road. And this way, when people are traveling, they'll be able to have hana, they'll use the wells, they'll have a benefit, and that way you're doing epis hashava, and that is how to do tshuva. Now, this is clearly not an optimal tshuva. You are not makayim the din of heshev esegzela. And therefore, for example, if later on you are able to identify some of your victims, you still have a chiv to pay them. You still have a chiyuv of heshev esegzela. This is just in the absence of any other option. If you don't know who they are, then al kol panim you should do tzarchei rabim. But this is certainly not a kiyum. This is certainly not a, you haven't really been yoitzer your complete chiyuv. It's just you're doing what you can. Now because of that, okay, so what you're accomplishing, the Aruch HaShulchan says that when the gazlin who's trying to do tshuva does the tzarechei rabim, he's showing that he doesn't want the money, he wants to return it to the victim, he says he'll have a siyati d'shmaya, because Baruch Hu will make sure that one day the victim or his yershim will be traveling along this road, they'll be thirsty, they'll have a drink, and they'll be moichel the person b'leiv shalim. So again, it's certainly not a real hashava, but it's al kapanim the Chazal said, this is what should be done. This is the second best thing to do. No. So because of this, the Binyamin Zev paskins, that because it is not a real hashava, we can't force you to do it. Because if we ever find the victim, you're going to have to pay again. So this is just something that a gazlan that wants to be lotzis de yeshimayim, if he wants to know what he should do, what he could do to do a tshuva shlema under the circumstances, this is our advice. But we cannot force it because he still has a choiv to whoever the victims are if and when he finds out who they are.
And still the full amount, he can't even knock
it in the mouth. No, because he didn't pay it back. It didn't go to them. Assuming it's one thing for the Aruch HaShulchan to say that he'll have siyata d'shmaya, Kadosh Baruch Hu will make everything work out, there's an inyan, it's a skula, it doesn't change the din. And if the din is you stole $1,000 from the person, you have a chiyuv back $1,000, even if he was nena, it wasn't a tashlum, and the fact that he had a drink from a well that you donated to the public doesn't mean that he's now somehow lost his rights. It was donated to the public.
It's impossible that it's going to go,
Correct.
It's a multi-million, so that he has a chance of making up for what he stole.
Correct. Well, the only real way to make up your stole is you take the amount that you stole and multiply by the amount of people there are. But the issue is that's not practical. And therefore, as mentioned, it's clearly not a real kiyum of the hashava. The point is, whatever you stole, you give that away so that you're showing you're ready to give up the money, you don't want to be nena from the gazela. And more than that, you have to be misbala. There's no okay. You're not mishalom kevel piatzma. And anyway, today there's no bezin to be mechayiv. It's dine knosis. So just the karen.
Is it so? Is it taka that someone else should get. Like, let's say he moved to the other side of the world. He stole from everybody in America and he moved there.
Right. Presumably, he should go back to the place where it's not discussed meforish, but I presume you should give it back to where you stole from. If you have an internet site that's somehow ripping people off, I don't know what you're going to do. I mean, unless you somehow donate, you know, quicker internet service to the public, I don't know what you're going to do. But it's not discussed mafurish, but I'll be svarim based on the Aruch HaShulchan, based on this taina that the nigzal will benefit. It's mistavri, you should try to do it in the place where your victims are most likely were from. Now again, this can't be forced. It's just something which is lotzei de shemayim, a person should do. Now, tzarchei rabin, this is a very common mistake, does not mean you give the money to tzedakah. Giving to tzedakah is a beautiful mitzvah, but stealing money and giving it to tzedakah doesn't make things better. It's not a kima v'heshev. The point of tzarchei rabin is a public works project where the public at large will benefit, where hopefully the victim himself will get some sort of hashava. May not be the full value, but he'll get some benefit for you. To give tzedakah to specific individuals, where unless you stole from those individuals, it's not going to help. There's no that is not a kiyum of this halacha. So obviously today, digging ditches on the side of the road is not a good kiyum. That's not a benefit for everyone. The Igros Moshe suggests that you can donate the money to the local mikvah, something which the rabbin, the public at large, benefits from. Chavetz Chaim brings down from the shul that if you donate svarim to a shul, that's also good. The point is to do something where the public at large benefits. Perhaps putting a water fountain in a local park would probably also be a kiyum. But again, the goal is to do something where the victim will have hanah from, there'll be some sort of hashava, and in the interim, until you find out who your victims are, that is the tshuva that is what you're supposed to be doing in order to try to do tshuva. I saw brought down from an Akron, he actually says that when a person writes a tzavah, because we know Rubam Begezel, that many people are over their lifetimes nichshal in the Isser of Gezel, inadvertently, they don't remember who, they don't remember how much, but he suggests that a person should set aside a certain amount of money for Tzorchei Rabim, and this way, if he was stole from someone by mistake, this would be an episode of his Chiyuv Hashav. Now this is when you steal from the public at large. You have no idea who your victims are, and therefore, there's no way to return what you stole to the people who you took it from. When you have this question on a smaller scale, the halacha is very different. The halacha is that a person steals, goes over to five people, and says, "I stole from one of you, but I don't remember who I stole from." So over here, the halacha is that if each of them say it was from me, I know Yitaka stole it from me. They all have a tainos bari. The halacha is, it's a machlokes in the Mishnah, but we paskin, the halacha is, you have a chiyuv to pay each and every one of them. So you're going to end up paying five times the value of what you took. Now this, however, is only when they're a bari. When they say for sure, we know, each of them says, you stole it from me. I have no doubt about it. So in that case, you have to pay, each of them makes a shvua, they're nishba v'noito, and you have to pay each one of them. However, if they're a shema, they say, I don't know, maybe it was me, I don't remember, it was years ago. Or for that matter, even if they know that they were robbed, but it's very unlikely they know that you're the crook. So it's very hard. I mean, the case where they're all bari is an extreme case. They all say, we know you stole this money from me. But in a case, even where they know they claim they were robbed, but they don't know it was from him, in that case, they're only a shema. So in that case, Bezdin cannot force him to pay each and every one of them. There, his chiyuv is to pay once, and because they are all shemas, they all and none of them are a muchzik, the halacha is that the money gets split between them. Each of them will get 20% of the total. This is Maker Hadin. Nevertheless, the halacha is if a person wants to be yoytzu l'idei shemayim, and there, he personally, what he should do is he should pay each and every one of them the entire amount. Because that way he knows he is for sure being Makai in the din of the Heshev, he's for sure returning the full amount to the victim. But this is Lotzei Tzedei Shemayim, this is not a Chiyuv Mikra Adin, we can't force him. It's only in the case where they're both, everyone is a Bari, then there is a Chiyuv Mikra Adin. When someone's in a dormitory, he remembers that he came back to the dorm one night, he was hungry, He saw there were some Danishes on the table, and he ate them. He doesn't know whose they are. So this really comes into the shaila. If all the roommates are claiming Bari, it's mine, they are Nishba v'noitel on, you have to give each of them back a Danish. On the other hand, if there's Sheva, this is happening years later, nobody recalls what happened, there in the Ikar Hadin, you just split the Danish among all of your roommates. However, if you're Bala to see Hishamayim, there already you should pay each of them the full amount because you know you did Gzela, and that's the only way to really guarantee that you're going to do a real Hashava. Now, in this case as well, the Aruch HaShulchan adds, and he says this Misvara, but he says that just like we find in the other case that we discussed, that Chazal made many takanos in order to make it easier to do tshuva, he says, Hu Hadin over here, when the person is moida to the five people I stole from you, he says it's appropriate for them to be moichel, for them to say, okay, pay it once and we'll work it out amongst ourselves, even though they're claiming that they're owed the full amount. Nevertheless, to make it easier for him to do tshuva, it's appropriate for them to be moichel and for them to be mevater and let him just pay one time. But this is not a chiyuv mikra hadin. This is just, a suggestion in order to make it easier for the gazlan to do tshuva. Now another interesting shaila is when a person steals and now he's coming to do tshuva, who has a chiyuv to deliver the item? Now, a person steals a heavy item and he has charat a few years later. Calls up the victim and says, remember this item that was stolen from you? Yes, okay, I'm ready to do tshuva. I'm actually calling you from Shanghai. It's here. Whenever you want it, pick it up. Who has a chiyuv hashava? Does the gazlan have a chiyuv to go ahead and actually deliver the item to the victim or not? So over here we have a very surprising halacha. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that in the absence of a shvua, again, if you go to Bez and you swear that you're innocent and it's not true, then the halacha is different. Then you have to chase the guy down to the other end of the world. But in the absence of a shvua, the halacha is, the gazlan tells the victim, I'm ready to return the item, come pick it up. The gazlan does not have to deliver it, he does not have to bring it back to the nigzel, that is the nigzel's responsibility. Now here there is a tremendous machlokes whether this is an ikar hadin or a takana. The Sma says, this is all takana. Ikar hadin, you're a guy, you steal something, you have to return it to the victim. This is another example of a takana sashav. Chazal, again, were concerned that if we make it too hard for a gazan to do tshuva, he simply won't do tshuva. So besides all the other takanas, add this to the list. Chazal also said, once he's ready to return it to the victim, once he says that's it, it's here, whenever you're ready, whenever you want it, you can come pick it up. Chazal said, you don't have to return it, as long as you make it available for the victim to go ahead and to pick it up. Now, Lotzis de Shemayim, the Nesiva says you still have a chiyuv. You want to be, just like by the other Takanas Hashavim, we saw that even when Chazal said you're potter, still, if you want to do a tshuva shleima, you still should go ahead and say apo pikein and try to pay it. So the Nesiva says, who I did over here, that you, if you want to be yoitz your complete tshuva, you should deliver it regardless. But if you're not holding by doing that, you're ready to do tshuva, you want to rely on this takanas hashavim, so there you're going to be patur. This is the din of, this is according to the Sma. The Shach, however, argues, and the Shach has a tremendous chiddush, he says this is me'ikar hadin. He said a gazlan's chiyuv is, he stole it, you have to make it available for the nigzal. But he says, without any takana, he says, me'ikar hadin, there is no chiyuv to actually deliver the item to the nigzal. You don't have to bring it to him. All you have to do is make it available, and you are mekayim your chiyuv, you're mekayim your din, and your potter, you don't have to do anything more than that. Now, the achroinim all point out that there seems to be a steer in the shach, although the shach over here in Shin Samach Zayin says this very openly. Later on in Shin Pei Vav, he seems to be soiser himself. And what they say is that it depends on the case. In the case where someone breaks into your house, steals your silver, steals your furniture, calls you up 2 weeks later and says, I really have charata, come, it's in China, come pick it up. There, many achroinim say the shach would agree that you tell the Gaza nothing to it. You want to do tshuva, bring it back to Munzi. What the shach is talking about is the opposite case. A person stole from you robbed someone in Muncie, and then the victim moved to Eretz Yisrael. So now we have a problem. On one hand, the Goslin, hey, the victim's not here, you can't do Hashava. On the other hand, whose fault is it? Who moved away from who? So in this case, the Shach holds, if you steal from the person in Muncie, your chiv is to return it back to his house in Muncie. But if he moves away and he's no longer here, the Goslin can say, listen, I don't have to track you down, I don't have to chase you to Eretz Yisrael. Whenever you come back, it's here, it's waiting for you. Ma'ashe'enkein, if the Goslin is the one that takes it away, there the Shach would agree that this halacha doesn't apply, and there, if the Goslin steals something and takes it overseas, he has the obligation to return it. He is not mekayim his din hashava, either midaraisa or midrabbanan, until he actually comes and gives the item back to the victim.
But if the tshuva is totally in the mechila of the nigzal, can't the nigzal like just say, I want it back here, I don't want to go to China to pick it up or anything else, and say, otherwise I'm not matzli?
Okay, that's true. But you know, the mechila, when we're talking about mechila, they're really two separate things. There's your chiyuv is veheishav zegzela. You have a chiyuv mamon, and it's a lav nitik lasei, and a lav nitik l'tashlumen. That's how to undo the actual lav. Then there's the other inyan of even after you've been mekayim your din of veheishav, you're no longer a rasha d'chamos. You still have to ask mechila because you did an avla to him. The same way if you insult someone or you in any way make him feel bad, you have to ask for mechila. So here too as well. So in a case like this, you're right. If the nigzal says, I'm still going to be upset at you, then enchami, the goslin, if he wants to get that, be mafias him, he's going to have to do whatever the victim says in order to be mafias him. But as far as whether he's considered a rosha, whether he still has the lav of lois tigzal, whether he has the aseya, the heshav, or whether he's makayim, the aseya, and he's no longer considered a rosha, there we have this question of who has the obligation to go to who. So it comes out, according to the Shach, there's a chiluk between who left who. If the Goslin moved away, he has to come back and actually return it to the Nigzal. However, if the Nigzal moved away, they already, the Goslin, Nikar Hadin, can say, I have no obligation to chase you down in the absence of a Shavua. The Sma learned it was all Takana. Once the Sma learned it's the Takana, the Nesivis at least understood the Sma, that Takana applies even when the Goslin moves away. He still does not have to return it. That is the Nesivis' Chiddush in the Sma. In the Shach, that there does not learn of Takana, there's no makar to say such a chiddush because there was never a Takana to make her hadin. And in that case, the Mikra hadin, no one seems to hold that when the Goslin moves away, that he can demand the Nigzal follow him.
When the Shach is mailed,
well, the issue is who has to pay for the postage? And a Khanami, right. Correct. Payment and for that matter for the insurance. You know, it's who's achroi to pay for the cost. Correct. Depends. Right. Correct. If Nigzal moved away, then it's Yitachin. The Goslin can say it's over here. If you want me to ship it, you pay for the shipping, and it's your risk. If the Goslin moves away, then already the Goslin would have a chiyuv to return it, and he would have to. If he doesn't want to return it himself, he wants to ship it. That would be his problem. Okay. So now I'd like to start the sugya of Shinoi Kaina. It's a rather lengthy sugya. However, we're going to focus more on the general concepts and what's more negeya l'maisa. So let's begin with the basic idea. If a person steals something, a person steals an item, and he has it for many years, one day he gets caught, or for that matter, he decides to do tshuva. He's ready to pay back the value. But he says, listen, I've been using this item for many years. It's gotten very attached to it. I'm willing to pay you the cost of the item, but I want to keep the item. What is the halacha? So over here, in the absence of any type of shinui or yish, which we'll discuss, the halacha is nothing doing. There's a chiyuv of veheishav zegzel asher gazel. You have to return what you stole. You have no right to say, I'll pay you for it. You have the victim's item. You have to give him back the item. You can't keep it and say, I'd like to just settle it in cash. In the same way, the Goslin doesn't have that right to say, I want to keep the item. The victim doesn't have that right either. As you steal someone's bike, so a year later, when you outgrow the bike, you're ready to do tshuva, and you're ready to return it to the victim. The victim says, listen, I don't need it anymore. I bought another one. I also moved on to the next size. So keep it. Just give me the money. Look, there's nothing doing. You stole the bike. You can say, Arei shalcha lefanecha, take the bike back. And there is no chiyuv damim. The chiyuv is only on the item itself.
What about
Chazal's appreciation of the idol over that time.
Okay, so that we'll have to discuss. If there's no physical change, in general, you can say Harei Shalcha Lefanecha. In general, the halacha is a gazlan pays ke'ein shegazal. You pay what it is that you stole, and if the item is still here, there's no change in it. The fact that its market value may have changed is not the gazlan's achrayas. That being said, if there's wear and tear, if he used it and therefore he damaged it, so then a gazlan in pashtus is not better than a masik. And we'll discuss this again in a future shiur, but pashtus is not different than a mazik, and therefore the same way, without a gzela, if someone went to your bike and made scratches and nicks and wore it out, he'd be responsible for that damage here as well. So the difference between Hilchos gzela itself, there's no obligation. If there's a mazik on the side, there is potentially a chiyuv.
Is that why the lashon of the Gemara is ke'ein shegazal, because it doesn't necessarily have to be exactly in the same condition?
Okay, yeah. Well, Ke'en Shagazel is really telling you that Shinu Yaskaina. Where it's not Ke'en Shagazel, Shinu Yaskaina. That's actually what we're getting. Hold off the question for a minute. Well, so this is all when the item there's no change in the item, it's the same, and just either the Gazlan or the Nigazel wants to retain it and wants to settle in cash. They have no right, you have to actually pay the value of, you have to actually return the item that you took. However, the Gemara darshins this is only true when the item is the same as when you stole it. Veheshev es agzela asher gazal. Return the stolen item that you stole. This is, the language is redundant. What do you mean the stolen item that you stole? Well, if you, a stolen item is obviously stolen. So the Gemara darshins, if it's ke'en shegazal yachzer, if it's still in the same condition, its same status, then you return the actual item. But in lav, it was nishtane. The item changed. It's no longer the same. The halacha is damim ba'alma ba'yishlomi. You just pay the value, what it was worth at the time of the gneva. Therefore, you have a person who goes into Home Depot. He helps himself to some lumber, some stains, some nails, and he goes ahead and he builds himself some beautiful furniture. So when he gets caught, the nigzal cannot say, "Give me back the furniture. The wood's mine. The nail's mine. The stain's mine. You use my drill." There's no. That's not a taina. Since the item was nishtana, you originally took raw wood, and now you made it into kalim, you made it into furniture, you stained it, it was dyed, it was nishtana, it's different. There, the gazlan has the right to say, "This furniture is mine. I'll pay you the value of what I took, what it was worth back then. But the item itself, because it was nishtana, because there are changes in it, I have the right to keep it. You cannot demand that I return it." No, you don't need yish. Yish is going to be discussed primarily in the context of a shinui rishos, when you sell it. But when you're dealing with a shinui maisa or a shinui hashem, you do not need yish. It may help, you may need a lesser shinui when there is yish, that we'll discuss later, but shinui itself does not need anything. It's bal karchai, the victim could be yelling and screaming, "I want my wood back." Since it is not ke'en shegazal, it changed. The halacha is, you have no claim, the gazlan pays you money, and that's it.
So what stops if he type of likes it, what stops if you make the shinui?
Nothing. Grad, it happens to be, but when you make a shinui, the tzoyis in Simon Lamed Dalet says, the ma'isa shinui itself, your oivre nisar gzela. Because through making the shinui, now the gufa hachefetz is becoming irretrievable to the nigzel. So you're being moisif to the gzela. So you want to know, you're allowed to do it. It's certainly going to be usr. But if he does it, he will get away with it. Robbing a bank is a very lucrative career. I mean, it's wrong, but in this case, he will gain. Now, he doesn't gain in the sense he still has to pay its value. But if he makes it, if it's nishtane, if he changes the item, then he will have the right to keep it.
Why isn't the bank gather?
What?
Why isn't the bank gather? The bank, while he's making that, how he's being coined.
Right.
So it says that he's doing something wrong. By making the change in the item.
Right.
That's not anything anymore. That's how he stole it.
No, no, no. He stole the item. He broke into your house. He stole the item. He was over in Isser Gazela. Right. Now he goes ahead and he changes the item. By changing it, he's being moisif in the Gazela. Because yesterday you were a gazlan, you had a chiyuv hashava to return it. Today, when you make the shinui, now you no longer have a chiyuv to return the item itself. You're being moisif in the gazela, and therefore the ksoy says you're over in Israel at that time. Tzais also holds when you use it, he has the same problem. You bring moist of the hanor and the hishtamshes is also. Tzais and Simon related lamed out. In a chayim, takanas marsh was needed in a specific case where it's in a, by a karka, where you built a building around it, even though it's not a shinoi, and we'll have to discuss why. Nevertheless, the special takana, you don't have to take apart your house. That's only when you build a house around it. Masha ein kein, and that's only a takanam derabanan. This is a din midoraisa, and this doesn't need that extreme case where the entire building will collapse. This, any shinoi, as long as it qualifies as a shinoi, is kaina, and midoraisa belongs to you. You don't have to return the actual item. Now, to be kaina with a shinoi, there are a number of conditions. The shinoi has to be a significant change. If you steal a car, and then you drive it, there's a little wear and tear, there's a little dent, that is not called a shinoi. The chavit is not nishtana. It has to be a material change. We're going to go through a few of the gedorim of what's required to qualify as a shinoi. The most basic requirement is that it cannot be a shinoi achozer. The change has to be irreversible. If it's something that can be undone, that can be reversed, that does not qualify as a shinoi, and that will not be a kinyan. Therefore, Lamasho, if a person steals a bar of silver, he takes it, he makes a beautiful menorah out of it, or he makes coins out of it. The halacha is, he's not kaina. Although it's a beautiful menorah, a menorah and a lump of silver are certainly two separate things. It is a significant change. However, it's chayz lebriyasa. If you want to make it back into that bar of silver, you just melt it, you just melt it, you just put it in a furnace, and you melt it. So the change is reversible, and it's a shinoi achayz lebriyasa, and it will not be a kinyan. This is certainly true in the case of money. In the case of a kli, the Sma brings down, the Rajba argues, the Shach says it's not lahalacha because it's shina achayzer. But this is halacha of shina achayzer. What about the opposite case? What happens if someone steals a menorah and he goes and melts it down to a lump of silver? Is that a shinoi or not? So over here the halacha is, this is called a shinoi. Because melting down a menorah to a lump of silver is irreversible. It's not, you can't unmelt something. And therefore, the moment you melt it down, it's no longer a menorah, it's nishtana, it's a shinei maisa, it's a shinei Hashem, and therefore it's koni to the goslin, it's his. He can keep the silver as long as he pays you the value of the original menorah, which obviously will be higher. What? There's no, you can't unmelt it. You can make a new menorah, but that's parim chadashas ba'olakam. You can make, because you're now creating a new thing. You know, it's when you have a... I guess when you have a lump of silver and you mold it, when you melt it, you're unmolding it. It's reverting back to the original state. If you have a menorah, you melt it down. Making a new menorah is panim chadash. You're now creating a new menorah. You're not undoing what you did. You're creating. You can make a menorah. You can make a kiddush kav. You can make whatever you want with it. It's a new ma'isa. It's a new creation that you're doing. Panim chadash. And therefore, it's called a shinoi she'eino chozer.
Make an exact replica.
That's true. It's like this. The Gemara is talking about a case of Naska. The Gemara says, Panim Chadashas Bo Lakan. There, Rashi is Mashma. Panim Chadashas means because EF Shalitzamtin. You'll never get it exact. There'll always be some minute difference. Others, the Me'iri learned that Panim Chadashas means, more like the way I explained it, that it's Nisbatel, its original shame. It's no longer, you make a replica, but it's a new creation. It's similar to what you had before. But it's completely new creation. What?
You're using the identical mold that was used.
But still,
the original mold.
Even if you use it, so it's a new creation, and therefore, because it's a new maiso, a new creation, it's not called irreversible. It's not. You can take other silver and also make a replica. There's nothing about here about. It's not like you've undone what you did. What you did was done, and now you're going ahead and you are creating something similar. And it'll come out now. At least in theory, there should be a very, very interesting halacha. Someone steals a lump of silver and makes it into a beautiful menorah. So he gets caught. The nigzel says, "Give me the menorah, belongs to me. It's my silver." The goslin says, "No, it's a shinoi. I made it into a menorah. I get to keep the menorah." They go to Beis Din. Who's going to win? The victim, the nigzel, because this is a shinoi hachoyzer. It could be melted down. The victim has the right to say, "Give it back to me." The goslin gets all upset. Says, "Oh yeah, I'll show you." Takes the menorah and melts it down. "Here, take the silver." Now the victim turned around and say, "No, nothing doing. I don't want the silver anymore. I want you to pay me for the value of Menorah. Gosden says, what are you talking about? It's the Shinei HaChoyzer. He says, no. He says, when you took the silver made into a Menorah, that's a Shinei HaChoyzer, because you can always melt it down. So therefore, it's not a Kenyan. The Menorah belonged to the victim. Now that you took his Menorah and melted it down to silver, you can't undo that. So that already is a real Shinei. Zok the Ktsoi is when you have something and you make a Shinei She'en HaChoyzer. A Shinei HaChoyzer. But undoing the Shinei HaChoyzer is a Shinei She'en HaChoyzer. Zok the Ktsoi, that is a Kenyan. And therefore now the victim, the Nigzal can tell the Goslin, now that you destroyed my Menorah, that is a real Kenyan. That's a real Shinei. And therefore you keep the silver. I don't want it anymore. Pay me for the value of the Menorah.
He gave me back what he stole.
What? But so what? Since it's true this is what he stole originally, but when you went ahead and made the menorah with his thing, to the extent that that's not a shinoi, that's not a kenyan, that menorah now belongs to the victim. Now what you went ahead and when you destroyed it at that point, you are destroying his menorah, and in a way that's a shinoi she'eino chayzer, at that point shinoi kaino, and it will belong to you.
The guy should charge the nitzal for the gerut.
Okay, very good. So although this is true in Lamdus, and if you want to know who keeps the silver, the halacha is the victim can tell the Gazan it's too late, this is a Shinei She'en HaChoyzer, you keep the silver, I don't want it back. As far as capturing the value of the Menorah, there is another Takanas HaShavim, which we'll talk about next week, that when a Gazan improves the item, he's a yoyrid, if you will. He goes ahead, he makes it into a menorah, he does things. As a takanas hashavim, when he returns the item, he gets paid for the shvach. Now, that doesn't apply to yoyker v'zol. This applies when he does something, he changes it, he improves it. He, in a sense, becomes your shutuf, and he is entitled to the value of the improvement. So therefore, in this case as well, that takana will apply, and the gazan will get paid for the difference in value between the menorah and But you know, so either way, the victim won't gain financially. But as far as the halachos of being chayzer, this it will be a kenyan because it was from the neira to the naska is a shinu she'enu chayzer.
I don't understand the lamdas.
We don't have to go back to the shas gazela. If you made the shinoi to ma'e, which in Lamed is not a kinyan, but if my thing was nishtana, became a menorah, and it's still mine, now we look at what you did as a new thing. And that change is an irreversible change afterwards, and therefore it's a shinoi which is kinyan. It becomes the Goslin's.
It's obviously reversible. Obviously it's reversible because he went from
no, but wait a second. You can make another menorah, but like we said, that's panim chadashos. It's not reversing it back to the middle state of menorah. That you, the same way you did a ma'aseh, you created a menorah, you create a second menorah. But that's not called chayzer. That's panim chadashos ba'olukah. Now another interesting case that the Sma brings out is a person steals offer and he bakes it into a brick. So that is also considered a shinui ha'chayzer because you can always grind up the brick and you'll be back to sand. So it's something which, obviously, people do not generally grind up bricks, the same way they don't melt down menorahs to get the silver. But nevertheless, because it could be done, it could be reversed, it's a shinui ha'chayzer, it is not a kenyan. Zok the Rajba, that it depends. If you take this and you bake this brick in the sun, so there it's a shinui ha'chayzer, you can grind it down, and it's not a kenyan. However, if you put it back into a furnace, which apparently makes it into a much more solid brick, and so there's like the Rajbi, even if you grind it down, it'll never be the same. You'll never be able to get it to be quite as fine as the sand where it came from. There'll be lumps, it'll be more coarse. And therefore the Rajbi says that we consider a shinu she'en ha'chayzer because you never get it back to the original state. Along comes the Sman and Arkus. Zok the Sman, it's true. The Metzias HaDvarim, he agrees to the Rajbi that if you bake it in a furnace, you'll never get it to be quite the same. But Zog the Sma, an important chiddush, that if you, when person has sand, no one cares how coarse your sand is, how finely ground it'll be. And therefore, Zog the Sma, even in a case where you bake it, where you made the brick in an oven, where when you want to grind it down, it won't be exactly the same, since nobody cares whether it's a coarse sand or a or a finer sand, therefore Zakta Sma, this is it still is considered a Shinei HaChoizer because it's close enough. It's you're gonna get it back to a state where people are not machalic. The difference between where it was originally and after it was Choizer is immaterial, and therefore the Sma is Machadish, that is enough of the Shinoi. Sorry, that is considered a chazara, and it will not be a shinoi even if you baked it in the actual oven.
We had a thing before that a tip. Once you put it into the house, you don't have to. He doesn't have a key to.
Yeah, so that was the chiddush. That was that's the karz marish that he mentioned. That if you have a beam and you build it into a house, even though in hilchus shinoi it is not a kinyan, because it was a beam before, it's a beam after, nothing changed. Nevertheless, because to do tshuva, you would have to take apart the entire building to return the beam. People would not do tshuva. There's a special takanas hashavim that you can go ahead, you can keep the beam and just pay the person the difference. That takana applies. That's a takana d'rabbanon where you don't have the din of shinoi kainoi because it's not nishtana. Then when you build it into a house, we have a special takana. But now what we're talking about here is midoraisa without any takana. We're also talking about, in this case, it doesn't have to be so significant where you built an entire house around it. Even a smaller item, once it's a shinoi, it's yours, you keep it. Now, as far as what a shinoi is, there is extensive discussion, different cases, what is a shinoi, what isn't a shinoi. If a person takes chops down a tree, that is not a shinoi. The value likely went down, but nevertheless, it was a tree before, it was a tree after, that's not called a shinoi. If you chop the tree into logs, still that is not considered a shinoi because they're called tree logs. It still has the shame of a dekel. That is not a significant enough shame for it to be considered a shinoi. Mashenkin, if you now take it and you make it into panels, now already a panel is not called a tree or a tree log. It's already nishtane shmoi. It's considered a different thing. So then already it will qualify for a kinyan. But clearly it has to be a material change. And from this Gemara, it seems there has to be a Shinei Hashem as well. There has to be some level of change in its name. And the Ramah passes like this. Ramah says every Shinei Maisa has to have with it a Shinei Hashem. It has to be called something else. If it's called the exact same thing, then the Shinei is not significant enough, and it will not be a Kenyan. Now this leads us to a very significant problem. And the problem is that there is a concept of a Shinei Hashem. If you steal something and its name changes, even though there's no physical change, that itself is enough for a kinyan. The example that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, although it's not so partial, but the example in Shulchan Aruch is you stole an egel and it was not, and it became a shor. You steal a calf, it grows up, and now already it's considered a fully grown animal. So although you stole it the day before its birthday, the next day already has a different shame. You didn't do anything via dayim. There's no real physical change, but since it's called something else, there's a Shinei Hashem, that is enough for a kinyan. The problem is, according to the Ramah, that says that every Shinei Maisa needs a Shinei Hashem as well, then who cares about Shinei Maisa? Because of the Shinei Hashem. Now for this, there are a number of terutzim in the Achrayinim, and they all will shed light on what exactly you need for a Shinei Maisa, and that, in Meretz Hashem, we'll discuss next week.
Even a fruit tree?